Bible to Ezekiel chapter 38, and then we'll read from verse 1:38 right through to chapter 39, verse 16. Thank you.
Ezekiel chapter 38, now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face against God of the land of Moab, the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against you, O God, the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal. I will turn you around, put hooks into your jaws, and beat you out, with all your army, horses, and horsemen, all splendidly clothed, a great company, and buckles, and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya are with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer and all its troops, the house of Togarma, from the far north, and all its troops, many people are with you. Prepare yourself and be ready, you and all your companies that are gathered about you, and be a guard for them. For many days you will be visited. In the latter years, you will come into the land of those brought back from the sword and gathered from many people on the mountains of Israel, which had long been desolate. They were brought out of the nations, and now all of them dwell safely. You will ascend, coming like a storm, covering the land like a cloud, you and all your troops and many people with you. Thus says the Lord God, On that day it shall come to pass that thoughts will arise in your mind, and you will make an evil plan. You will say, I will go up against a land of unwalled villages. I will go into a peaceful people who dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates. To take plunder and to take booty, to stretch out the hand against the waste places that are again inhabited, and again the people gathered from the nation who have acquired livestock and goods, who dwell in the midst of the land. Sheba, Dedan, the merchants of Tarshish, and all their young lions will say to you, Have you come to take plunder? Have you gathered your army to take booty, to carry away silver and gold, to take away livestock and goods, to take great plunder? Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say to God, Thus says the Lord God, On that day when my people Israel dwell safely, will you not know it? Then you will come from your place out of the far north, you and many people with you, all of them riding on horses, a great company and a mighty army. You will come up against my people Israel like a cloud to cover the land. It will be in the latter day, and I will bring you against my land, so that the nations may know me, that I am hallowed in you, O God, before their eyes. Thus says the Lord God, You are he of whom I have spoken in former days by my servants, the prophets of Israel, who prophesied for years in those days that I would bring you against them. And it will come to pass at the same time when God comes against the land of Israel, says the Lord God, that my fury will show in my face. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath I have spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great earthquake in the land of Israel. So let the fish of the sea, the birds of the heavens, the beasts of the field, all creeping things that creep on the earth, and all men who are on my face of the earth shall shake at my presence. The mountains shall be thrown down, the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. I will call for a sword against God throughout all my mountains, says the Lord God. Every man's sword will be against his brother, and I will bring him to judgment with pestilence and bloodshed. I will rain down on him, on his troops, and on the many people who are with him, lying rain, great hailstones, fire and brimstone. Thus I will magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. Chapter 39. And you, son of man, prophesy against God and say,
Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against you, O God, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal, and I will turn you around and lead you on, bringing you up from the far north and bring you against the mountains of Israel. Then I will knock the bow out of your left hand and cause the arrows to fall out of your right hand. You shall fall upon the mountains of Israel, you and all your troops and the peoples who are with you. I will give you to the birds of prey of every sort and to the beasts of the field to be devoured. You shall fall on the open field, for I have spoken, says the Lord God. And I will send fire on Magog and on those who live in security in the coastland. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. Verse 7. So I will make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let them profane my holy name anymore. Then the nations shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. Surely it is coming, and it shall be done, says the Lord God. This is the day of which I have spoken. Then those who dwell in the cities of Israel will go out and set on fire and burn the weapons, both the shields and bucklers, the bows and arrows, the javelins and spears, and they will make fire with them for 7 years. They will not take wood from the fire, nor cut down any from the forest, because they will make fires with the weapons, and they will plunder those who plunder them, and pillage those who pillage them, says the Lord God. It will come to pass in the day that I will give God a burial place there in Israel, the valley of those who pass by east of the sea, and it will obstruct travelers, because they will bury God and all his multitude. Therefore they will call in the valley of Hebron God. For 7 months the house of Israel will be burying them, in order to cleanse the land. Indeed, all the people of the land will be burying, and they will gain renown for it on the day, for I am glorified, says the Lord God. They will set apart men regularly employed with the help of a search party to pass through the land and bury those bodies remaining on the ground in order to cleanse it. At the end of 7 months, they will make a search. The search party will pass through the land, and when anyone sees a man is gone, he shall set up a marker by it. Two the buriers have buried it in the valley of Hebron God. Verse 16, in the name of the species who will be Pomona, thus they shall cleanse the land.
Thank you. All right, let us pray. Father, we come to you in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, these two chapters of the Scripture, Lord, will help us to understand, illuminate our eyes. And I pray, Lord, more importantly, as we read through this Scripture, as we understand, Lord, we'll be in awe of you. So I pray, Father, Lord, as the word is delivered, Lord, that your life and your spirit flow out, Lord, from this word, and that your people will be encouraged, will be edified, and that it is this increased hunger and thirst for you and for the word. So I pray, Father, Lord, that as the word is spoken, everyone will be encouraged, their faith will be lifted up, and that we may know that you are Lord. So I just ask, Father, that you grant us a hearing ear, a receptive heart, and that your word will be embedded in our spirit, that we may apply it in our life. In the precious name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, today is the final installment, 7, on the subject of Israel. And the title for my sermon today is The Magog War Against Israel. Now, there are at least 15 wars that Israel fought since the day of independence in 1948. And just to let you know, there are 4 major wars that Israel fought. The first one was the War of Independence, 1948, followed by the Six-Day War in 1967, and then the Yom Kippur War in 1973, and the Lebanon War in 1982, and plus a few others. Israel is currently surrounded by nations that are screaming for her blood. And currently, anti-Semitism is not only rising from countries surrounding Israel, it is also raging in Europe and in the United States of America. Now, Jews are being targeted for persecution and assassination. Now the world stage is now being set for the drama of the ages. And last year in February 2018, the Iranians launched a drone from Syria into Israel. And the drone was actually loaded with explosive and it penetrated the Israeli airspace. Before it could do any harm, the Israelis shot it down using an Apache helicopter. And so Israel next sent some fighter jets into Syria to destroy the Iranian base that launched the drone. Now, Israel and the Jewish people in generally are under constant attack by her neighbors. Because Israel faced so many conflicts, the world has become somewhat immune to it and not paying too much attention to it. Now, would there be more conflicts and wars between Israel and her surrounding nations? The answer is 100% yes. Some wars will be big and some wars will be small. First thing is, be warned, an earth-shaking Magog war is coming for Israel. It will be the biggest war that Israel has ever fought since independence. Now, how do we know it? Because the Bible says so. Ezekiel 38 says so. Now, 30% of the Bible is about prophecy. If you think that prophecy, Bible prophecy, is outdated, think again. It is more current than CNN. And there are 737 prophecy in the Bible, and 80% of them already have been fulfilled with pinpoint accuracy. And there are still about 150 prophecy yet to be fulfilled, and Ezekiel 38 and 39 is one of them. And Ezekiel 38 and 39 prophecy is a super huge one. Written about 2,600 years ago, God's word predicts the future like no other source. The war will be so dramatic and so earth-shaking that it will make all other wars that Israel has fought as child play. After this war has come to pass, it will be so devastating and that God will have the full attention of Israel and also of the whole world. Three times in this Bible, in these two chapters, the Lord emphatically pronounced and says that they shall know that I am the Lord of Israel. And this is a very powerful statement. And I believe that the different jigsaw puzzles are piecing together for the fulfillment of this war. They are about to come. What is happening now and unfolding before our eyes is the prelude to the Magog war. In time to come, you will watch a massive prophetic geopolitical drama unfold on the front pages of all news media of the world. And so what is this Magog war against Israel all about? In this coming earth-shaking war, who will be involved? Will it be the Arab nations? Will it be Iran? Will there be a new strategic player? Let us go through the verses in Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39 to find out. Now the passage that we read will answer the question, who, where, why, what, and how. At the end of my sermon, I will discuss the general timeline or the time frame when this war will take place in God's timetable. And so the next question is, who are involved in this Magog war against Israel? I'll read verse 1 to verse 2. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, set your face against God, the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal, and prophesy against him. And then verse 5 says, Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya are with them, and all of them with shield and helmet. And then Gomer and all of its troops, and the house of Togarma from the far north, and all its troops, many people are with you. Now this verse says that God is against the coalitions of army led by the God of the land of Magog to attack Israel. Now God is not a place or a tribe, but it is a title of a ruler. Just like the Pharaoh is the title of the king of Egypt, and Caesar is the title of the king, or rather the emperor of the Roman Empire. And God is actually the title of a political ruler of Magog. And so, the ruler of Magog He says it's the prince of Rosh, Meshach and Tubal. Magog, Meshach and Tubal are actually the sons of Japheth. Japheth, who is one of the three sons of Noah. You can read it in Genesis chapter 10 verse 2. Now these are the ancient people who settled in the southern part or southern regions of present day Russia, between the Black and the Caspian Sea. And that part also includes parts of Turkey and Iran. And Rosh are actually the settler in northern Russia. And so from this root named Rosh came the word Russia. Rosh, Russia. And therefore the chief of the coalition against Israel in this Magog war is Russia, one of the current three world superpower. Now verse 12 and verse 15 say that this tribe Rosh is actually in the far northern part of Israel, which verify that it is Russia. And the other members of the coalition are actually Persia and Cush. Now Cush, many Bible translations translate it into Ethiopia. And then the next is Put, and they translate is Libya. And then the next two tribal people or ancient people are Goma and Togarma. And so who are they? Let me go through each one of them. The first one is Persia. Of course, we know Persia is actually present-day Iran. She's going to be the key coalition partner in this attack. Now, as you know, Iran is now anti-West and anti-Israel. She has increasingly come under the influence of the Russian. And currently, Israel actually considers Iran as the most dangerous enemy. Now, Iran is very determined to develop nuclear capability and very adamant of wiping out Israel. So after the U.S. withdrawal from the nuclear agreement, as you read in the recent news, U.S. began to impose severe economic sanctions on Iran. And this will progressively push Iran closer to Russia. Now, the next member of the coalition is Cush. As I said, some Bible translation translated as Ethiopia. Now, actually, ancient Cush spans across present-day Sudan and Ethiopia. And it should be Sudan rather than Ethiopia. And so Sudan is actually predominantly a Muslim country. But you can say perhaps both of them will be involved. We don't know. But it is Cush, could be two countries. The third member of the coalition is Put, the present-day Libya, another Muslim country. And the fourth coalition member is actually Goma and Togarma, which is present-day Turkey. Now, the ancient people, Goma and Togarma, currently actually living in different parts of Turkey. Now, Turkey is also another main player in this coalition. And since the election of President Erdogan in 2014, the Turkish government has actually turned anti-Israel. And though Turkey is a NATO nation, it has recently got closer with Russia because of their recent July purchase of the S-400 air defense Russian weapon system. And this has upset the American tremendously. And therefore, with the latest geopolitical shift in relationship, Iran and Turkey are very likely to team up with the Russian to strike Israel in the future. Now, for Iran and Turkey and the others to team up with Russia, it is actually a political marriage of convenience. But for Russia to strike Israel, she actually has a different motive from Iran and Turkey. Nonetheless, in summary, we have a coalition of minimum five countries. Russia will lead a coalition comprising Iran, Turkey, Sudan, Ethiopia, Libya, and possibly some other nations. The reason why I mention possibly some other nations is because ancient Put and Cush, each of them spread across a few more other presence country. Can you put a kind of click a few more times to show the countries against the ancient name? Thank you. But you can be sure here that Iran and Turkey will be in this war against Israel. So you watch out. When Iran and Turkey team up together with other nations, Russia, the time will come when they will strike Israel. Now let's move on. Verse 3 and verse 4 then says, thus says the Lord God. He said, behold, I am against you, O God, the prince of Rush, Meshach, and Tubal. I will turn you around, put hooks into your jaws, and lead you out with all your army, horses, and horsemen, all splendidly clothed, a great company with bucklers and shield, and all of them handling sword. Now, in their evil plan to attack the Jews, this has become a personal battle for the Lord. Because Russia would lead these four or more vicious anti-Semitic armies to crush God's chosen people, and it will arise God's fury and wrath. And we know that God is a God of love, but He is also a God of wrath. And so don't get away the idea that a loving God does not pour out His wrath. And God says to them, when I see you invade these covenanted people of mine and land, your fight against Israel is now going to be the fight with me, because I am the defender of Israel, and he that keep Israel neither slumbers nor sleep. And so the next segment of the Bible specify some of the precondition for these things to take place. Verse 7 to verse 9. It says, prepare yourself and be ready, you and all your companies that are gathered about you, and be a guard for them. After many days you will be visited. It says, in the latter years you will come into the land of those who brought back from the swamp and gathered from many people on the mountains of Israel, which had long been desolate. They were brought out of the nations, and now all of them dwelling safely. You will ascend, coming like a cloud, covering the land with cloud, and you and your people and troops and many people with you. Now in this prophecy, God is giving a warning to the coalition. Be prepared for a shock. In verse 8, it gives a hint of the general time frame when this will take place. It says that in the latter years, this means in the days of modern Israel, not ancient Israel in the Old Testament days. And second, it says that it will happen after the Israeli people were brought back from the sword and came back to the land which had long been desolated. Now this means that Israelite has come back to the desolate land after the Holocaust and the genocide. And then thirdly, it says that the people were brought out of the nations. This means that they came back from worldwide dispersion. Now, all these are saying that invasion will only happen after the formation of the Jewish state in 1948. Then it says that the Magog coalition's army will descend on Israel like a cloud. This Magog coalition invasion will be massive. It has to be, because it involves a superpower and a coalition of a few other nations. Let us read on. So what is the motive of this Magog-led invasion? The answer is found in verse 10 to verse 12. Here it says, thus saith the Lord, on that day it shall come to pass that the thoughts will arise in you, and you will make an evil plan, and you will say, I will go up against a land of unwarred villages. I will go up to a peaceful people who dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates, to take plunder and to take booty, to stretch out your hand against the waste places that are again inhabited, and against the people gathered from the nations who have acquired livestock and goods and who dwell in the midst of the land. These verses say that it will be a time when Israel is in the land of unwalled villages, dwelling safely, having no bars or gates. This means a time will come when Israel is living in a state of security, having a defense force that is able to fence off any aggressor. And so the time will come when Magog will come with an evil plan to attack Israel. And the main motive of this war, it says, is to take spoils. So the next question is, what precious spoil can Russia possibly get from Israel? Now, in the past, Israel has not been rich in any of the natural resources. But things take a big change over the last 10 years. And in the last decade, Israel keep discovering a number of huge gas fields. More oil and gas companies are now applying for licenses to explore more of the areas to find gas and oil. Now, in time to come, shortly, Israel will become a major natural gas hub and a big gas exporter to the neighboring countries. And now, currently, Israel is planning to build a major pipeline to pipe the gas to Cyprus, Greece, then to Italy, then to Europe. Currently, Russia is also a major gas supplier to Europe. And so, with future new supply, and this would mean more competition. It would mean cheaper prices for buyers in Europe, much to the discontent of the Russians and some Middle East countries who are currently major gas suppliers. This would lessen Europe's dependence on Russian energy, changing the geopolitical dynamics of the Russia and the Middle East. And so in the future, we will not be surprised that Magog will lead a coalition to attack Israel to plunder their natural gas and oil, and two, to plunder the chemical potash. Now in the Dead Sea is $3 trillion worth of unextracted potash, a chemical used for fertilizer and the making of weapons, and two things that Russia needs in great supply. Now, the rest of the coalition who joined Magog in this attack may not be much for gas. Their motive is more because of anti-Semitism. But for Magog, the Bible says that the main and the real motive is to plunder their spoil. And so, let's move on. The next verse tells us, actually, how other nations would respond to this Magog attack. And so, verse 13 says, Sheba, Dedan, the merchants of Tarshish, and their young lions will say to you, have you come to take plunder? Have you gathered your army to take booty, to carry away silver and gold, and to take away livestock and goods, to take great plunder? Now, the other nations mentioned are Sheba, Dedan, the merchants of Tarshish, and their young lions. Now, first, who are the Sheba and Dedan? They are actually the countries in northern Arabia. And so these are the Arab nation. And then second, Tarshish. Tarshish is actually a region that is associated with Western Europe. If you remember the book of Jonah, God instructed him to go to Nineveh, but he went to the other way around. Instead of going east, he goes to the west, which is Tarshish. And so Tarshish means the Western Europe, like countries like England, Spain, France, so on and so forth. And then the third one, it says the young lions of Tarshish means offspring of Western Europe. And who is the offspring of Western Europe? United States of America, right? They migrated to that place. Actually, they all come from Europe. And so the young lions of Tarshish is actually the United States of America. In other words, verse 13 is saying that some of the Arab nations, the European countries, and the United States of America recognize that, and they rebuild the motive of the Magog invasion as to take the spoil. But they were merely protest on this hostile act of war, but they will not do anything substantive. That means they don't want themselves to be involved in the war. So, the next question, what is God's counter purpose for this war? Now, the answer is found in verse 15 and verse 16. It says, then you will come from your place out of the far north, you and many people with you, all of them riding on horses, a great company and a mighty army. You will come up against my people Israel like a cloud to cover the land. And it will be in the latter days that I will bring you against my land, so that the nations may know me when I'm hallowed in you, O God, before their eyes. Though may God may want to take the spoils, but God is going to turn this battle around for his purpose. And verse 16b says that all nations may know me when I am hallowed in you, O God, before their eyes. Currently, generally, most people do not hallow the Lord. They do not revere the Lord. But in this particular catastrophic Magog war, God will cause all the nations to revere him. And it will be a main catalyst for a worldwide revival, especially for the nation of Israel. And so, the question that we're going to ask is, in what way this catastrophic Magog war will cause the nations to revere God? So let us read on in verse 17 to verse 23. It explained it this way, how God destroyed the Magog coalition. Verse 18, it says, it will come to pass at the same time when God come against the land of Israel, says the Lord, that my fury will show in my face, for in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath I have spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great earthquake in the land of Israel, so that the fish of the sea, the birds of the heaven, the beasts of the field, all creeping things that creep on the earth, and all men who are on the face of the earth, they shall shake in my presence. The mountains shall be thrown down, the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. And I will call a sword against God throughout all of my mountains, says the Lord. And every man's sword will be against his brother, and I will bring him to judgment with pestilences and bloodshed. I will rain down on him, on his troop, and on the many people who are with him, flooding rain, great hailstone, fire and brimstone. Thus I will magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. And so in this Magog war, God is going to display his fury and wrath in five dramatic ways. One, a super mega earthquake. Right now, currently, we are seeing all this minor earthquake. But when Magog attacks Israel, God will shake that region with an unprecedented mega earthquake. It will break all the records that we have seen so far. I don't know what scale. Maybe on R20, we have not even seen 10 yet. It will be so huge. The shaking is going to be so massive. It will reduce the mountains to rubble. And every high wall shall fall. And every living creature shall shake in fear. Countless troops are going to be killed. It will literally change Israel's landscape. Number two, there will be friendly fire. Means they will kill one another. They will kill their own friendly troops. The thick debris and the dust caused by the great shaking, the collapse of the mountains and the wall will blanket the atmosphere in that part of the world with darkness. And this will cause great chaos and confusion in the enemy's camp. And with five armies speaking five different languages, the enemies begin to open fire on one another. And so huge numbers of troops perhaps in the number of hundreds and hundreds of thousands of soldiers would be killing their own people. And then the third is pestilences. 15 days, with a few hundred thousand bodies lying dead, unattended, lying around unattended, God would cause a pestilence to break out, killing even more people. Then God sent, number four, a torrential rain storm and a flood. And the torrential rainstorm is going to cause a flood to restrict the movement of the troops. And then finally, the grand finale, a mega hailstone followed by fire and brimstone. And so having got all the troops got stuck in the flood, God next is going to rain down hundreds of thousands of huge hailstones. You have not seen it before. Huge hailstone mixed with fire and brimstone to wipe out the whole Magog coalition army. The hundreds of thousands of hailstone, they rain on the mountains of Israel, and it will release megatons of TNT energy to blast the Magog coalition army into oblivion. God did it in the Sodom and Gomorrah. Then God is going to do it again here, but on a much bigger scale. And God is demonstrating His awesome power and might for the coalition army to see, and also for the world to see, right in front of the television screen. CNN TV, 24-hour reporting. You see it on your TV screen, just like you see the 9/11 incident. And God will further punish the coalition leader severely by sending fire upon the land of Magog. It's written in verse 6. It will cause the Magog to be severely incapacitated. God is in this war, and Israel does not have to fight at all. God is fighting on their behalf. Now, this is God's show and tell, demonstration for those who are invading Israel, and all who witness such a highly dramatic and an earth-shaking scene will be in awe of God. God of Israel will then have the full attention of the world, and especially Israel, and all will come to know that these are the acts of God beyond any shadow of doubt. Because all the five things mentioned there are all catastrophe, acts of nature, mankind. Verse 23 says, then I will magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations. Then they know that I am the Lord. And so this super dramatic war is going to spark off a worldwide revival. And so the next question is, what will be the scale of damage inflicted on the coalition army? Total oblivion of all the coalition army on the mountains of Israel in the millions is so high, the casualty rate is so high, it says that it will take 7 years to dismantle and to burn all the weapons that are left behind. Verse 9, I just read for you. For those who dwell in the city of Israel will go up and set on fire and burn the weapons, both the shield and the bucklers, the bows and the arrows, the javelins and the spear. And they will make fires with them for 7 years. And then it says, it will take 7 months to bury all the dead. Verse 12, for 7 months the house of Israel will be burying them in order to cleanse the land. Indeed, all the people of the land will be burying, and they will gain renown for it on that day that I am glorified, says the Lord. And then finally, I want to ask the question, when will this Magog war happen? Now let me show you the chart. Best to illustrate it with a chart. As you know, after we completed the book of Revelation, we came out with this high-level kind of timetable, that overview chart of the history of this earth. First coming of the Lord Jesus, and then he was crucified on the year, there about year 30. So that was his first coming. And then the earth will run for about 2,000 years, plus or minus. And then at the very end, before this world, current world ends, is called the world, we go into 7 years of tribulation. The first 3.5 years is the lesser tribulation. The next is the greater tribulation. And then at the end of the tribulation, there will be an Armageddon war, a World War III. We call it Armageddon War. And Jesus will come back the second time to wipe out all those armies that are going to oppose Israel. And then after the Armageddon, we are living a golden era, unprecedented peace and prosperity, and unprecedented golden years that the earth will ever enjoy for 1,000 years. And then after that, during these 1,000 years, Satan is going to be bound in the bottomless pit. And then at the end of the 1,000 years, he's going to be released. And again, his unrepentance, and he's going to lead all the nations of the world to do another final battle with God. And this is called the God and Magog War. And then again, God will come and just destroy them with fire. It's going to be very short. God calls fire from earth, from heaven, and they're going to be totally exterminated. And then after that will be the great white throne judgment. And then this current earth, heaven and earth, they will all disappear. They will be rolled away. And then a new heaven and a new earth will come about. And so this is the overall timetable. And so the question I want to ask is, where does this Ezekiel 38 war, Magog war, fit in the passage that we just read? And so first is this Ezekiel 38 Magog war the same as the Revelation 20 God and Magog war at the end of the millennium, which is here? And so let's move backwards. Is this Magog war referring to the same God and Magog war mentioned in Revelation 20? Now, the straight answer is no. They are actually different war, but of the same spirit. They are having the same name, God and Magog. It's just like, let's say, the spirit of Jezebel in the Old Testament. And then we come to the New Testament. You also have in the church, they say someone, a prophetess, you know, Jezebel. But it's a different person, right? So it's of the same spirit, but different person. So same thing. You have Elijah in the Old Testament. When it comes to the gospel, and then Jesus begins to say that Elijah has come. And then the disciple asked him, you know, what do you mean Elijah has come? He said, John has come in the spirit of Elijah. And so it is the spirit that we're talking about. The spirit, the God and Magog spirit. And so they are different war. It's not the same war. Now, it's not enough to tell you it's different. I have to give you reasons why they are different. Because the scripture, you read carefully, indicate they are different. So let me give you a chart. The first thing, in the Ezekiel 38 Magog war, now if you remember, the invasion comes from the north. It specified a few times, this invasion comes from the north, right? 15. And how many nations that is involved? A few nations. It's not all the nations of the world. It's a coalition, right, of those countries that I just mentioned. But then, for the verse, the Revelation 20, God and Magog war, where does it come from? It comes from all directions. It involves all nations of the world then. And therefore, this is the first reason why they are different. And second aspect, why they are different. Who are the leaders? Now, the leader of the Ezekiel 38 war is the ruler of the God of Magog, which is the ruler or the prince of Magog. But the leader of the Revelation 20 God and Magog war, you read the Bible, is Satan himself, personally. He's the leader. He leads that particular army. So, a different leader. So, cannot be the same war. And then the third thing is, the dead will take 7 months to bury. Now, in the God and Magog war, Revelation 20, after Satan and his rebels were destroyed, then comes the great white throne judgment. It's clearly written there. And then the current earth and heaven will be destroyed. And then there will be a new heaven and new earth. So there is no need to bury the dead. And there are a couple other reasons. But to keep it simple and short, these are the three main reasons why they are not the same wall. Now you read some of this, I don't know, Bible teachers, they just say because the name is the same, therefore it's the same wall. But you read in detail, they are different wall. Also, now you have clarity. So this Ezekiel 38 wall is not this Revelation 20 God and Magog wall. Alright, the next question is, how about this wall, Armageddon wall, the final World War III? Is this Ezekiel 38 Magog wall the same as the war of Armageddon? Again, the answer is no. So what are the reasons? Again, I'll give you the reasons. The first reason is this. Same thing. The Magog invasion comes from the north and it involves only a few nations. Now, for the Armageddon World War, if you read Revelation 19, also 16, the Armageddon War, actually invasion comes from all nations. Why? Because the Antichrist gathered all nations to come and to wipe out Israel. And it almost involved all nations. So again, that's a key difference. Second reason, again, you look at the leader. The leader of the Ezekiel Magog War is the God of Magog, the ruler or the prince of Magog. But the leader of the Armageddon World War is actually Satan, who actually possessed the Antichrist. There will be a human being on this planet Earth then called Antichrist. He's a beast. But then, after Satan has been thrown from the heaven, he comes down on Earth, and then he took possession of this man, and he's going to control the whole world. Yeah? So Satan slash Antichrist is the one who lead this, the world, to attack Israel. So it's different. The leader is different. Alright? So the third thing is, the main purpose, the clearly stated in Ezekiel 38, the main purpose of this war is to take the spoil. Now, that purpose in Armageddon World War is not to take the spoil, is to wipe out Israel so that Satan can secure his kingdom. Alright? I've explained it in last week's sermon. I'm not going to explain it again. Then item number four, fourth reason is, Ezekiel 38, Israel's enemies are destroyed by the shaking of nature, the five things that I mentioned. But then, in the Armageddon World War, God's enemies are destroyed by Jesus' mere utter of his word. When Jesus say one powerful word, bang, they're all destroyed. There's no need to fight. No fight at all. You know? So, there are again, these various reasons point out why they are different. And so, the next thing is, can the Magog war actually start in the middle of the tribulation? So that's the next question. Again, the answer is no. Because from the mid-tribulation period, there are only 3.5 years left. And it says that you need 7 years to burn all the weapons. So there's no room for them to accommodate these 7 years of burning the weapons. So it cannot start in the middle of the tribulation. And so, the next question is, can it start then? One more click, please. Can it start then at the beginning of the 7 year tribulation? Now, again, the answer is no. Right? Very simple. Because at the middle of the tribulation period, what happened is, Antichrist will take control of the whole world. And then Satan will immediately, through him, going to launch an intense persecution of Israel. And that will happen. And then at mid-tribulation period, Israel will have to run and run for their life, flee to the wilderness. It's written in Matthew 24. He said, when that abomination comes about, he said, flee to the wilderness. They have to run for their life. And God has provided a place for them. A place called Petra. And so, not possible. Because it takes 7 years to, what you call, burn all the weapons. And already at this point, they have to run. They cannot possibly have the 7 years. So it has got to be work backwards from here. This is the point that Israel have to run. You work 7 years backward for them to dismantle and burn their weapons. So it must be at least 7 years before mid-tribulation. All right. I'm not saying that it will happen then, but at least. So it can happen anytime from here, this arrow here, from this point to there. So the answer is, it has to start at least 3.5 years before the tribulation period begins, so that this will give Israel at least 7 years to get rid of all the weapons in this Magog war. And so, conclusion. This Ezekiel 38 war is going to be one of the greatest signs of Jesus coming back very, very soon. When this war happens, Jesus coming is going to be very, very near. All right. And so, I believe that this Magog, Ezekiel 38 Magog war is a great encouragement for Israel before they go into that great tribulation period. And because Israel is God's prophetic clock, we need to pay special attention to this development in Israel. And trust that the past 7 sermons delivered to you will give you an understanding of Israel, God's prophetic clock. And we have to watch, be alert, watch. Watch means look at all the current events. I already explained to you some of those things. Watch and pray. Fear not, for God is with Israel. God is with His church and faithful saints. I remind you, faithful saints. As long as you are faithful and live a righteous life and on the ball for God, God will take care of you. He who abides, he who dwells in the shadow of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And God is going to be your refuge and is going to be your fortress. And God is an awesome God. He's all-powerful, almighty, and all-knowing. He's the King of kings, the Lord of lords. He's higher than the highest, greater than the greatest, stronger than the strongest. And He is a defender of Israel and His church. And He's going to demonstrate His might. The day is coming where every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is God, to the glory of the Father. Hallelujah. Amen. Lord bless you and be on the lookout for this coming event. Amen. Can I get Sister Julie to come forward and we have the enclosing song.